Welcome to the Rotary Community Heroes of Hope. I'm your host, Judy Zulfikar, and I'm thrilled to be joined by my amazing co-host, Jamie Zinn, District Governor of Rotary District 5330. Together, we will take you on a journey to discover the incredible impact Rotarians have on our community and around the world. Get ready to be inspired by our Rotary Heroes of Hope.
This afternoon, we are going to get hot. Hot, hot, hot. What do you think, Jamie?
Yeah, you bet.
And a little cold. We have fire, we have ice, we have it going. And we have Jeff Frazier and Ray Prospero. Did I pronounce that right, Ray?
Yeah, you did. Thanks.
Awesome. Well, can you go ahead and, Ray, why don't you start us off by introducing yourself? And then we'll kick it off to Jeff.
Yeah, no problem. My name is Ray Prospero. I'm the current president of Circle City Rotary in Corona, California. Jeff is my predecessor, so I'll let you take it from there, Jeff.
Yeah. I've been a Rotarian for about 10 years and became president last year for 2022-2023. Thankful I didn't have to do it during the COVID period, which was quite a challenge.
That was my year as president, just so you know.
Yeah, I do not envy that.
That was brutal.
A real challenge. But this year, our immediate past president for Circle City Rotary becomes the chair for our primary fundraiser for the year, which is the Fire and Ice Chili Cook-Off and Craft Beer Festival. So that's while we have, of course, a group of capable, chair people for different aspects of the event, I'm the coordinator of the event this year, and Ray will be next year.
All right.
Yeah.
So essentially the term as president for Circle City Rotary is really a 2-year, three-year commitment. If you think about pets, right. And you're getting in right. as president-elect. So it's like a 3-year commitment because you go president-elect, president, and then you got to take over of our biggest fundraiser, which is, you know, quite the task.
Definitely dedicated Rotarians. Sorry, Jamie, go ahead.
Oh, no worries. So tell us a little bit about the actual Fire and Ice Festival, and then tell us the impetus behind why this is your signature fundraiser and how the funds you're raising are being put back into the community. Tell us about some of those fantastic projects that you're doing.
So the genesis of Fire and Ice is, so I've been a Rotarian a little bit longer than Jeff, so I think I'm on year 12. The genesis was that we didn't have a signature event for our club. When I first came in, our event was literally a small bingo event, and it wasn't very consistent, and we raised a couple thousand dollars. And so, realizing that that wasn't enough to do what we wanted to do to the community, one of our Rotarians, who's since relocated, so he's moved to South Carolina, but Mark Peabody is really the person who came up with this whole idea. And there were others, but he was kind of the person who spearheaded this thing and had this grand vision that, hey, if we have a community event, the Fire and Ice Chili Cook-Off and Craft Beer Festival, I think we could get some people to come. And so those initial first years, we actually partnered with the Corona Norco YMCA and held it at the YMCA. And as the event got bigger and the community responded by helping us and attending the event, we took it over ourselves since it was our idea and our event. And then we found a better location. And Jeff, you want to fill them in on what we have going on this year?
Yeah, absolutely. So this event, it's extremely popular because, of course, not everybody likes beer. But those that like beer usually like craft beer a lot, and who doesn't like chili? So it's fundamentally in the title, you know, of course, the Chili Cook-Off and Craft Beer Festival explains it. But it's we take over a shopping center called Dos Lagos in Corona. It's actually a really beautiful kind of upscale center, and they close off both ends of it for us with barricades. And so we have the whole run of the center where we have approximately, we aim for about 30 chili contestants and about 30 craft brewers represented, and stagger them throughout the event. And then we have a great band, the KTEL All-Stars is an amazing band. We've had them almost every year that we've done the event, and this is our 9th. So I think we've had them six or seven out of the 9. Mm-hmm. But they're very popular. They do they like do 70s cover music. And so there's dancing out in front of the stage. We invite typically three or four nonprofits to participate. And so they get to, interact with the crowd and tell their stories as well and try to drum up, interest in their nonprofits. And what we do with the event is on this, with Greg, I don't know if I'm going to get into your area here, Ray. I'll just kind of set the stage and hand it back over. But what we do is, it's a huge amount of work putting this on. And our club couldn't do it by themselves. So what we do is naturally, as many Rotary clubs have, you have nonprofits, various types of charities come to you throughout the year, and they would like assistance and they would be like to be eligible for grants. So what we decided to do a few years ago was to tie the eligibility for grants to participation in the event in terms of supplying volunteers or otherwise assisting in the event.
So that's great collaboration with local partners. That's awesome.
Absolutely.
It's worked out real well. And I think that's probably a good handoff point for you, Ray.
Yeah. So, Jeff and I, over the years, we've been in charge. We've kind of co-coordinated volunteers. And so that's kind of been my sole specialty over the last couple of years is coordinating the volunteers. And so what we've done is we'll reach out to those nonprofits that throughout the year, we stay involved. We do community service events with them. We invite them to speak at our club. But when it comes down to it, as we're gearing up for this event, we'll send invitations for them and we'll solicit volunteers. We have two shifts, the early shift to help set up and then the late shift to help tear down. And like Jeff said, we tie kind of the eligibility for the grant money to them participating in that. And that being said, all of the net proceeds we really distribute. So between what we give away to the nonprofits, what we give away to the foundation, we do keep some seed money for the next year. So we typically keep about $10,000 of seed money to get us starting for the next year's Fire and Ice. But really, all the net proceeds we give all to these nonprofits.
Can you talk a little bit about the nonprofits that you do give to and what their missions are, so our viewers can understand what type of projects you're supporting in the community and good that you're doing?
Yeah, definitely. And I do want to clarify, we, as Jeff said, we do invite, three or four nonprofits to have a booth at the event. But as far as volunteering at the event, there's more than three or four. I mean, there's probably about 15 to 20. So I have a list here. So Inspire Life Services, they have helped us literally from the beginning. And so their specialty is they help kids, foster kids that transition out of the foster program. When they age out, they have nowhere to go. They essentially become homeless. So they help them transition there by providing out of there by providing housing and helping them with their education. We have Peppermint Ridge, who the executive director is actually a member of our Rotary group. They help with the developmentally disabled and they provide housing. They have various housing there. SAC Foundation, Simple Acts of Care and Kindness. They do suicide awareness and mental health awareness for youth. It was driven out of one of our members who unfortunately experienced her son committing suicide. And out of that tragedy was born SAC Foundation. We support them. Angels Over Cliffs is a new one. They were founded by two people, Cliff and Angela Hare, who were formerly homeless themselves. And they were on the streets living in a hotel. And by the grace of God, they were helped. And so what they did is they felt their calling was to help other people that were in their same foundation. So they're helping end homelessness. We have Leaps and Bounds. They do pediatric hippotherapy with horses. Pencils and Dreams, who they build schools in Tanzania. So I could go on and on and on. I mean, there's a lot more, but we don't discriminate when it comes to giving out. I think the beautiful thing about Rotarians is that we all respect each other. We come from all different cultures, all different life stages, and we all support different things. And in being Rotarians, we just have that variety of interest. A common interest there is that we want to help these organizations, right? So, so there's quite a broad scope. There's probably another 10 on here, but I don't want to take up too much time. So.
Well, you know what's so unique about it is that you're getting them to work with you on this event to start with, and yet they're the recipient. And, you know, it shows that the collaboration between nonprofits or just businesses in general can do so much good in a community and have such a greater reach than just trying to do it all yourself.
Absolutely. And it's kind of, as I'm talking here, I just keep thinking about that ripple effect, right? It kind of starts with that one, you know, ripple, and then it just kind of spreads exponentially. And that's kind of what we have here. Even though some of these nonprofits are based in Southern California, they're locally, the outreach is outside of our borders. Like I mentioned, Pencils and Dreams, they're building schools in Tanzania. Another one I forgot to mention, and last year was their first year helping us, is Sheer Love. And they're based in Corona, but they help sex trafficking out in Thailand. The grant money is not, we do want to focus on local organizations, but the impact is beyond the United States.
And it never ceases to amaze me how much one club, I mean, we have 60 clubs in our district, and each of you are doing such an amazing impact locally and around the world. When it's all added up, it's pretty exponential. It's all I can say.
Yeah. Yeah. And, we had a good, during Jeff's tenure, he did a good job of collaborating with other clubs. We had an awesome day where we actually packed meals with, I want to say, four other clubs, right, Jeff?
Yeah.
You know, and so if you think about the impact that a small club could have, you know, you add a couple others to the mix. I mean, it's just that compounding power, that snowball effect.
Yeah. Well, tell us about, because we do have listeners out here who, of course, are going to want to come to your event to take advantage of that chili and beer going. But we also have listeners who would love to come, I'm sure, and volunteer. So tell us how they can get in contact with you for either one of those things.
Yeah, we'll start with a save the date. Okay. Yes. February 24th, the last Saturday of February. And I will tell you, with the exception of last year, every year other than last year, we had perfect weather. It's just, for some reason, it's always perfect. Last year was a totally different story, but we had to reschedule it. But this year, we have no reason to believe that's going to happen. So February 24th, the time frame is from 11 to 3. And you can get more information about it by going to CircleCityRotary.com. And if you just scroll down a little bit, you'll see the Fire and Ice banner, and you can click on that and go into learn more about each of the different areas. Ray is the direct contact for the volunteers. So, Ray, do you want to give your contact information?
Yeah. You can reach me on the website. If you click on a link, contact us, it'll just reach out to me. We welcome any volunteers or any nonprofits that are interested in helping out and possibly being eligible for a grant.
What if there's somebody that would like to participate as a competitor in your chili contest? What are the criteria for that?
Well, there is a section. So there's a whole section on our website. If you kind of click on it, says Fire and Ice. And so there you will find information on sponsorships, information on a brewery, is how they want to participate, and then the criteria for the chili. It's probably on top of mind for Jeff right now because we just revised everything. So if you want to give a quick summary?
Yeah, sure. I'm just pulling up the document so I don't miss anything important. So, as a matter of fact, we changed. So chili cook-offs usually have, you may have encountered different types of rules around how the chili rules work, what kinds of ingredients you can use. So all the way up until this year, in the past, we always categorized, we sort of followed the chili cook-off ethos. And we said, okay, there's a red chili, there's a green chili. The rules are, and they're, you know, they had ingredient rules. These are not rules we made up. You know, I don't know who makes those rules, but folks that travel the chili cook-off circuit know this stuff well. And so we had red, green, restaurant, and people's choice. And so the red and the green, basically you could apply to be a contestant and you declare what you're going to cook. And then the rules were laid out specifically. Now we changed that up this year. We decided to collapse these into two categories only instead of four, because when you only have 30 or so chili contestants, you know, the meaningfulness of winning second or third place or first place is diminished if there are only a few people in your category. So we weren't seeing enough in one category to really warrant keeping that category unless we could dramatically expand the contestants. So what we decided to do is collapse it down to People's Choice, which was the fourth category. People's Choice means you can put whatever you want in that chili as long as it tastes great and the judges like it. So no rules there. And then restaurant chili, we kept as a separate category because they have a distinct advantage that they can prepare all of their chili and everything offsite in their own regulated kitchens. Whereas the rules for the County of Riverside for the health department are that you have to prepare your food on site. And there are a series of compliance rules about how you do that. So we wanted to keep those two separate. And so this year will be the first year that that we will have expanded the People's Choice, opened that up considerably. And so we're excited about that. It simplifies the communication and the rules and everything for people to understand. As far as how do you, if you want to apply, you go to CircleCityRotary.com and you'll find the information pretty readily there. But it, in essence, it's $50 entrance fee. And then we have your requirement is you got to make 5 gallons of chili. And, you know, last year and in years past, the prize money was a lot lower. And we're all painfully aware the price of food and everything's gone up. So we thought that's a big expense to make 5 gallons of chili and, you know, only have like a, you know, a plaque and a $200 prize. You know, you're going to be underwater with that. So we created the prize money is now $1,000 top prize for the top People's Choice winner. 750 second place and $500 for the third place. And what we decided to do on judging, there's a kind of a fun story behind that, why we changed the judging rules. But historically, what we did was we gave everybody tickets on their way in. So the attendees would get, I don't know how many tickets, 5 or 10 tickets. And yeah, they put these tickets in a jar for the chili that they thought was really good. And then they, at the end of the event, we would count the tickets up and the winners, the ones with the most tickets, the top five would go to a judge, to official celebrity judges. And these would be community leaders or congressmen or something, whoever we would get to judge.
And or a district governor this year.
Or district governor, right?
Yes.
And so what ended up happening was there's a phenomenon where people come into the event and the first chilies that they get, they just tend to put their tickets in there. So there was a little bit of contention around placement. So we decided this year to mix it up and we said, we're going to have 5 Rotarians who are secret judges and they're going to score every chili 1 to 5 and then going to compare those scores. And then the top 10 of those will go to the celebrity judges. That way there's no tickets and there's no game playing and there's anything that's just all about taste.
That sounds like such a fun event. So as we're wrapping up here, what do you want the general public to know about this event and in, you know, when can they buy tickets and where can they buy tickets?
Good, Ray.
Okay. Yeah. Again, like Jeff said, February 24th, easy to remember, 2/24/24. That's how, that's why we set it up. They can get tickets now. We have tickets on sale at Eventbrite, or the easiest thing is just to utilize our website, CircleCityRotary.com. We have links directly on there to purchase tickets, as well as the information for contestants, participants, sponsorship, and all that. So we just invite the community to come out, especially fellow Rotarians. Like I said, all of the net proceeds we distribute to nonprofits. A good chunk we actually donate back to the foundation, to the Rotary Foundation. So it's all for a good cause. It's a very fun event. You know, and you'll see that the community really embraces it. The shopping center is packed I mean, it's to the point where we might need to expand it out over the next couple of years. So my vision is over the next 5 years that we will be, you know, maybe the top fundraiser in the city of Corona. And I think we have the momentum and the talent in our club to do it. So that would be it. But in the meantime, just feel free to check us out on CircleCityRotary.com and please join us.
Thank you so much, both of you, Jeff and Ray, for sharing this. I know I'm excited to be at that event and to see what all those contestants do and be able to try all that great chili. And I wish you all nothing but success with it. And thank you for sharing this with our listeners today and for everything you're doing in our communities.
Thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks for having us.
I can't wait to test that chili.
Yeah, look great. Forward to seeing you all there at the 9th annual Fire and Ice Chili Cook-Off.
Excellent.
We'll see you
all
then.
Right.
Okay. Bye. Thank you. See you again. Yep.
Have a great day.
You too.
So that wraps up this episode of Heroes of Hope. We are so happy that we have an audience out there listening. We want you to subscribe, share, and tell your friends about the Rotary community Heroes of Hope, because that's how we get the word out about the impact we're having in this world.